Okay.
So, we had seen the general contradiction, or what seems to be a contradiction, in the words of the Ran, in terms of the policy about what to do if you're not sure. If you're not sure, you have a din, and you're not sure how it applies, and it's a din d'rabbanan, what are your options? So, our Gemara is talking about dalakosos and the requirements for haseba, and the assumption that only half of them require haseba, we don't know which half. Says the Ran, you can't say suffix Rabbanan Lakula to either randomly pick one or the other, or to just knock out the whole concept. So we have to do Hasebo by all four. But in the context of Megillah, the Gemara on Daf Hey in Megillah, hopefully you had a chance to see, there the Gemara talks about cities that were unclear whether they were walled cities from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, and therefore certain Amoraim had the practice of reading on both the 14th and the 15th, and the whole question about what is the baseline halacha as far as that's concerned. So there, the Ran records that just doing the 14th is sufficient, because that is Rove of the world, and that will address our concern of not missing out the takana. So we were looking at differences. Why should it be that for dalakosos he requires you to do all four, or the Gemara requires you to do all four, and that's how he explains it? And in the context of Megillah, just the 14th is sufficient. So yesterday we spoke about a few general approaches as far as how to relate to different kinds of sfeikos. Now, just to consider the question a little bit, are there aspects here that are special to Purim? Are there details about Purim that direct the answer in one direction, that tell us that just the 14th could be sufficient? And that's why there's a difference. So it's not a general issue here or a conceptual point in the broader sense, but maybe it's rooted in certain Purim-specific positions. So just to begin with one, which is similar to one we've pointed out already, is the position of the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to the Shulchan Aruch, suggests that the issue is that the 14th is really the Takana. And again, this is something similar to something we've said before, that it's not really that the 14th and the 15th are so distinct from each other, but that the Takana is really for the 14th, and it was extended to the 15th. And he works off the premise that if one who is supposed to be reading on the 15th does read on the 14th, but the Eved is Yotze. So therefore, if that's the case, so then that suggests that there is a difference in the relationship here, and that you can accomplish the goal, at least with the Eved, with just reading on the 14th, and that shouldn't be compared to Dalakosos, because this is what you can extrapolate from what he says, this shouldn't be compared to the dalakosos, because there's no reason to assume that the haseba goal is accomplished by one half on behalf of the other. And he notes in that context also, says that's why when it comes to, say, Tveria, the Gemara talks about, reading on the 14th, so they do so with a bracha. Normally we say that when you perform a mitzvah of suffik, so we leave out the bracha because we're not sure if the bracha is appropriate or not, and we say suffik brachos lahakel. So here to say that they should recite it with the bracha, that tells us that we are assuming this is the din, even though we weren't sure whether it should be the 14th or the 15th in theory, but the reading on the 14th in practice is not a reflection of suffik. It's a reflection of the fact that ultimately that works. So therefore, min hadin, that should be the way to do it. That we don't treat it as a suffix. And that we're not functioning from the halachas of suffix. That's a approach that's pretty basic as far as the relationship of the 14th to the 15th. There is another approach where it really comes from a different direction. And this is in the Sefer Bnei Yisoskar. And besides in Bnei Yisoskar, actually. Bnei Yisoskar writes that this could be addressed by looking at the Mordechai. The Mordechai poses the question, says, why is it that when it comes to Purim, we don't take on a concern of Seika D'Yoma? Now, this is the question you could ask, how legitimate is it to begin with? Because we know that we have a policy of Seika D'Yoma by most of the Yom Tovim that are Min HaTorah. There is a history of not knowing exactly when the Yontif was because of the uncertainties of the calendar. So originally they observed 2 days, and now there's a Din D'Rabbanan to uphold those 2 days. So we don't really know that it applies to any festival that's D'Rabbanan. But there are discussions about it. Why should that not be assumed? So the Mordechai is the one who raises the question regarding Purim. Why is it that we don't have Sveika D'Yoma by Purim? So the Bnei Yisachar suggests that perhaps we know we have the drasha the Gemara says in the very beginning of Megillah, V'lo Yavor. And it's trying to figure out what are the days for the reading of the Megillah. And the Gemara tells us there are 5, because it goes from 11 to 15, 14 being the standard day, 15 being Shushan Purim, and 11, 12, and 13 being the choices if you pull it up because of the farming villages. So a total of 5 days, but not beyond. The Gemara says, V'lo Yavor. Understands the pasuk V'lo Yavor to tell us that you can't go past the 15th. So he discusses there, what's the nature of that drasha? It's that you might think that, okay, maybe there are circumstances where I have a safek, and they should add on an extra day, add on an extra reading. So the Megillah is conveying to us that a part of the takana was that we're not obligated to worry about the sveikas, and that we're not going to have a concept of Sveika D'Yoma by Purim. Well, yeah, or stop, you don't go past 15. So based on that, he suggests clearly not going to be true for all the Rishonim or for all the Amoraim, but the way he's understanding, presumably within the idea that the Ran adopts, is that therefore if there's no Sveika D'Yoma inherently built into Purim, so too a Safek like this, also we're being taught that we're not obligated to read 2 days, and 1 day is sufficient even in a situation of Safek.
Hi. Just assume that there's the Rabban made like a ton of Sveika D'Yoma and like didn't have like it would seem like if they were to make a like they wouldn't need to make another Tekana to go against to exempt from their Tekana, just build their original Tekana differently.
Well, I think what he means here is that they ordained it in such a way that you should understand these are the rules, that this is how much we're asking from you and not more. So when it comes to a Daraisi Yantiv, so then there could be an expectation of a Sveika D'Yoma concern. Which this is kind of in the spirit of a larger concept here, which is also relevant to this whole sugya, that some understand the idea of Safek D'Rabbanan L'Kula, which is our topic extensively, that the leniency that's built into Dinim D'Rabbanan, even according to the Rambam, that Dinim D'Rabbanan all trace back to a pasuk in Chumash, is because that's the way they set it up. So even though, by default, you could have said, this all connects to Torah law, and we should be machmir. So we should say Safek D'Rabbanan L'Chumra. But the idea that we're makel by rabbinic law is because the rabbis dafka set it up that way. So this might be kind of an indication of that. That here they said, okay, here's when you read the Megillah, and it's limited. You're not going to go beyond that. You're not going to treat it as something where a Safek L'Chumra and where you're going to have to do more. So it's built into the initial takana that we don't have a position of Safek. Now it's interesting because you find also some Achronim have the opposite Svar that's relevant here. Sefer Chassan Sofer, it's one of the descendants of the Chassam Sofer, who we'll come back to in a second. The Chassan Sofer wrote that by the same logic of looking to the initial takana, you can't let the questionable cities off the hook completely. Because when they made the whole institution of Shushan Purim, at that time already there were places that were a suffix, right? Because they had to have their status from back to the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. So there were already places that were besuffic. So we don't find that they exempted those places completely. That wasn't a part of it. So therefore, by the very nature of the Takana, the questionable cities had to at least read on one day. So that also comes to support the idea that we're not going to say, okay, let them off the hook completely. So it's the same kind of point going in two directions. Right? The idea that the initial Takana covers the situation to some extent, kind of being invoked by two different sources in two different directions. One to say that there was inherently an exemption from any suffix consideration, which clearly not all the Rishonim are going to hold by, but this is maybe an explanation for the Ran. And the other aspect that also it doesn't mean to let you off the hook completely, because those cities existed at the time of the initial Takana, and presumably they were included in something. Okay, but with that, let's go back to the Chassam Sofer. So yesterday we mentioned a very fascinating tshuva of the Chassam Sofer, where he drew the distinction between Megillah and Dalet Kosos to say that Megillah just applies to that place, this question of whether they should read on the 14th or the 15th. So they don't run the risk of making a decision on behalf of Klal Yisrael, that the concept of Shushan Purim is not going to be uprooted if this city chooses the 14th. As opposed to Dalet Kosos, where if we took a policy that, okay, we'll just randomly pick, let's say, the first two, and really it should have been the last two, so then all of Klal Yisrael will be missing out on this idea of having Haseba for the last two Kosos. And this was a practical issue he was trying to figure out, because he wasn't just explaining the view of Rishonim here, but he was addressing that question about a Safek Kaddish, if you recall from yesterday. And if you don't know when a Yahrzeit is, if a child doesn't know when the Yahrzeit is, so should we say that he should be machmir for both days, like the view that would emerge from the Dalet Kosos perspective? Or is it okay to do the earlier day on a similar approach to the Megillah kind of plan? I say similar because the Ran emphasized the Rov as the reason to pick the 14th over the 15th. The Chassam Sofer, when he talks about it, his tshuva, he emphasizes that it's the first opportunity. So that would apply equally to the Yahrzeit question. So because he's trying to figure out what the story should be there, so before he finishes the tshuva, he says, okay, Lamaisa, do we paskin like the Ran? Like the Ran, in his application in Megillah, that the first day is enough, so do we paskin like that? And can I use that Ran to address this Yahrzeit question? So he says, well, it's a little complicated, because if you look up in Shulchan Aruch, so the Shulchan Aruch actually says about the questionable cities that when should they read? And we saw this before, they should read on both days. So maybe the Ran is not accepted the halacha. So maybe his logic isn't something we should go with. Then he pivots from that. He says, no, maybe it's not true. Maybe we could agree with the Ran in general. But it's that Purim is different. Why should Purim be different? So here the Chassam Sofer suggests a fascinating point, and it actually connects to other tshuvas he has, which we've also referenced in the recent past. Chassam Sofer says as follows. As he thinks that the Shulchan Aruch says to be machmir for both days, because the Shulchan Aruch is not treating this issue like a din derabanan, and is not applying suffik derabanan rules, but rather, it's treating it like a din min haTorah. Why should it be treated like a din min haTorah? Because there is the Gemara, if you had a chance to see it today, very important Gemara for understanding Purim overall. And for those who dropped in the Kol Yom Rishon on Sunday, talked about it over there. That the Gemara and Daf Yudalid in Megillah talks about how we came to observe Purim. And we have here a day that's added to our calendar by the Nevi'im. And the Gemara normally assumes that Ein Navi Rishai L'Chadish Davar, that Nevi'im don't add on mitzvos, and the Gemara there says all the Nevi'im in Jewish history didn't add on anything else. The Gemara might also be coming from a perspective of Baal Tosef, according to some Rishonim also. So what's the justification for adding on Purim? So says the Gemara, they darshan the kal v'chomer, that here we're learning Psachim. And we know Psachim gives us all of these practices, all of these mitzvos that we have to do to commemorate our redemption from Mitzrayim. So says the Gemara, if we're going to celebrate Pesach, which is about Avdus L'Cherus, which is about being set free from slavery, so Kal V'chomer Purim, which is about being kept alive, if we're happy to be set free, it's not Paskin and give me liberty or give me death. It's saying that you'd rather be alive than be enslaved. It's a Kal V'chomer. So if we're going to celebrate being set free, all the more so, Kal V'chomer, we have to celebrate being kept alive, being saved from the threat of destruction on Purim. So, that already could be enough for a discussion here. And the whole context of this part we talked about at the Kol Yom Rishon on Sunday, that the idea of a justification on a Torah level for Purim comes from that Kal V'chomer. But then it gets more specific. It says that according to the opinion of the Baha'i, Hallel on Pesach is a din min haTorah. Not all the Rishonim agreed with that, but that's his starting premise here. So if Hallel is a din min haTorah, and the Gemara is saying that Hallel is the basis, Hallel on Pesach is the subject of this Kal V'chomer, which tells us we have the same din by Purim, it's also a din min haTorah. Now, wait a minute, you'll say, but hold on. We don't say Hallel on Purim. So what are you talking about? So, that also, in that same Gemara, Megillah Daf Yudalid, the Gemara raises that question. The Gemara asks, why is it that we don't say Hallel on Purim? And the Gemara gives a few answers, but one of the answers is Kriyasa Zohi Halela. That reading the Megillah on Purim, that is in place of Hallel. Which led the Meiri to say, maybe I should be recommending this to some people who are in a quarantine, don't have any other options, I feel they don't have any other options. The Meiri, and later the Shivas Tzion, the son of the Noda Bihuda, has a tshuva about this, that if you're on a desert island on Purim, and you don't have a kosher Megillah, suggest that you should say Hallel. Because according to this answer in the Gemara has other answers too, but according to this answer in the Gemara, it seems that really we should be saying Hallel on Purim. But we don't say it because the Megillah takes the place of Hallel. But if we don't have Megillah, maybe we should say Hallel. So he asked what the Chasam Sofer saying in this tshuva, that Hallel on Pesach, according to the Mahagiz Manat Torah, Kal V'chomer, according to the Gemara, same story by Purim. So on Purim, Megillah, which is the place of Hallel, is Min haTorah. So therefore, he says, the Ran's logic that Safek D'Rabbanan could be handled a certain way, maybe, but the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch, is not talking about Safek D'Rabbanan, it's talking about Safek D'Oraisa because of this Kal V'chomer. How you doing?
Good. I have two questions.
Sure.
First question is that if you go with the reasoning that Purim should be deraisa because we have a Kal V'chomer that if we have a holiday on Pesach, when our freedom was given, but when our lives were saved on Purim, then a Kal V'chomer, how we should have a holiday. But we see in the Torah there are events where our lives were at, are at threat, you know, a mortal threat, and and we didn't institute a holiday for that.
So how do you know when?
How do you know when? And the Kol HaChomer doesn't seem to be applied within the Torah itself.
So what's an example, though, of where all of Klal Yisrael was L'Hashmi, L'Harig, L'Abe?
I mean, two things. You can either say with, like, Laban or in Mitzrayim itself, like, they were trying to kill the Jewish people, or you can say with, like, Mechamas Amalek or something of that sort.
Well, it's a little harder to draw the comparison. I mean, when it comes to Mitzrayim, so we do have a Yontif to commemorate all of that, and we... So it's hard to make it every time, you know. So we have for Pesach to commemorate the whole redemption, which also, if you're saying, then make the Kal V'Chomer phrase differently. Why we call it Avos L'Chayrus? Although they didn't try to wipe us out specifically, they tried to stop new babies from being born. Is that how you're? I mean, it was primarily about Avos.
I mean, on Pesach Seder, don't we say like
Pikei Shlavim Lakar Sakol? It's also much more limited and much more. You have to really kind of focus in a much more creative sense to see that. Unfortunately, have to explain how that's even true. It's hard to put that on the same level of the Gezeira and all of Klal Yisrael, which existed then as a mass population. It's hard to really compare that. So to see an event that's comparable to Purim on a total level, I'm not sure it's a little bit hard to really find it to be equivalent, I would imagine. What was the second question?
The second question, just because there's a deraisa concept or value implicit in Purim, namely, you should give Shabbat for the Adzak Lashvarach, but for Nisim, which does seem to be a Torah value, but how do you go from a Torah value embedded in the holiday to the holiday itself being a Torah holiday?
That's a great question, and there are many different points along the spectrum as far as how to see that, see it really as an example of a Dimana Torah or not. And it actually is going to bring us back into our larger Haseba question, because that's also a part of how do we relate to Haseba as part of defining the mitzvah of matzah, and we'll say even more about that probably today. So it's a kind of a meta theme in this whole sugya, not even just about Purim, but about Pesach, which for sure is Manat Torah, but the details of some of the mitzvahs kind of provoke that question also. Now, it happens to be that Chassam Sofer is well known for this position in other tshuvas. This tshuva that I'm talking about now is less well known. This is in the Kuf Pei Aleph, if you want to look it up. But Kuf Samach Aleph. But in another tshuva, in Siman Reish Ches, this is much more frequently quoted. So there, he takes the position that Chanukah and Purim are essentially obligations min haTorah because of this Kal V'Chomer. And the details Chazal were given to spell out. So there, he assumes that the details, for the most part, are drabanan, but to have some kind of acknowledgement of the nes, that's min haTorah, which is similar to what you're saying. But here, in this tshuva, he throws in that Megillah specifically. You could make a case that that is more daraisa than the rest, because of the Gemara that's in the place of Hallel, and because of the Bahag's position that Hallel on Pesach is min haTorah. So putting together those parts, specifically Megillah in the place of Hallel, with a whole algebraic formula here, that Hallel and Pesach equals Mitzvah Menat Torah, Megillah equals Hallel, put them all together, then Megillah specifically could be a fulfillment of the obligation of Menat Torah. But it's not going to work for other Rishon, it's not going to work for all the positions, and it's certainly creative. And part of the problem is that he then goes on to note, but hold on a second, according to me, he says, but it's all premised on Hallel being Menat Torah. But the Rambam doesn't hold that Hallel is Menat Torah. And the Rambam also says, like the Shulchan Aruch, that she gave you to see today, that you should read also on the 14th and the 15th. So why does the Rambam machmir on this? More than the Ram. So that, he suggests, has to come from somewhere else. And that maybe in general, the Rambam, his attitude towards Sfeikos, are different when there is an established concern, established chazaka of an issue. Cheskes Isser, we would say, if we were talking about an Isser, here we're talking about a Chiyuv. So then he assumes, not so explicit in the language of the Rambam, but he's assuming this is the Rambam's reading of the Sugya. It's a little bit of a extrapolation. Chassam Sofer, that the reason the Rambam is machmir is for a different reason. It's that we're talking about a city that we know is walled. We don't know how long it's been walled for. So therefore, that's more than a normal suffix. That's like a chazaka. It's a chazaka that it's walled. We don't know how far back the wall goes. So that's a greater reason to be machmer than a normal suffix. So basically, what it comes out, if he wants to say that the issue of reading for 2 days, according to the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, who say that way against the Ram, is not a general suffix or abanan issue. It's because there are more reasons to be machmir here. Either because there's a cheskes chiyuv in these situations where we know there's a wall, it's a question of how far back it goes, or because we're seeing Megillah in HaTorah because of the Chassam Sofer's Kal v'chomer. Now, I should also add that there is another, probably more well-known and broadly accepted reason to be machmir in Hilchos Megillah. And that is also rooted in this Gemara. So it's important to give us an opportunity to see where things come from. So here in this Gemara, Megillah and Daf Hei Amud Beis, that talks about this questionable cities. So the Ran brings up his position, and others far on the Daf come from other angles. So one very often quoted source is the Turi Evin. The Turi Evin is written by the author of the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh in his Turi Evin to Megillah Daf Hei says the reason that there were those who read both days in this suffix situation is because Megillah is not treated like a din derabbanan. It's treated like a din manat Torah. Why? Whole different reason than the Chassam Sofer. Because Megillah is what we call Divrei Kabbalah. Divrei Kabbalah, I think we've mentioned in the past, Divrei Kabbalah is linked to do with mysticism. But Divrei Kabbalah means that it is through the tradition as conveyed by Psukim. So since the Psukim in Megillas Esther tell us about the mitzvahs of Purim, and in this case goes beyond the Chassam Sofer, all the mitzvahs of Purim, the 4 mitzvahs of Purim are all referenced in the Psukim in the 9th parak of Megillas Esther. So therefore, they're all Divrei Kabbalah. And Divrei Kabbalah, there's a line in the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Ches, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah dan. Divrei Kabbalah are treated like Divrei Torah. Now that Gemara is actually talking in a very narrow context. It's talking about one very specific application. And it says, in that case, we treat Dinim Darabanan that are mentioned in Psukim, Divrei Kabbalah, like Divrei Torah. But the Turi Evin takes it much farther. And the Turi Evin says, Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah dami, means that we treat, for all intents and purposes, we treat these Divrei Kabbalah like their Divrei Torah. All of the chumras, all of the stringencies of Dinim and HaTorah apply to these Dinim. So all of the mitzvah superm, Megillah and the Suda, Matanis Levionim and Shalach Manas, are all treated like Daraisa for Sufik purposes and things like that. This could apply also to a few other things, could apply to the Tzomos of the Chorban that are also mentioned in the Pasuk in Zechariah, could apply to Kavod and Onus Shabbos, which is rooted in a Pasuk in Yeshayo. A few other such concepts we call Divrei Kabbalah, Turi Evin assumes, we say Sufik v'chumra because of that Gemara, that Divrei Kabbalah ki Divrei Torah dan. Question?
First of all, it's a huge
chiddush. I'll just tell you, historically, it was very influential. Because nowadays, many poskim relate to, let's say, the dinim of Purim, like they are dinim in HaTorah. So for the purposes of Safek, for the purposes of various chumrah, many poskim treat the dinim of Purim like they are dinim in HaTorah. And that is a big influence because you could probably bring many rayas from the Rishonim, that the Turi Evin was an early Achron. The Turi Evin lived to the late 1600s, to the early 1700s. The Vilna Gaon met the Shagas Aryeh when the Vilna Gaon was young and the Shagas Aryeh was old. He lived into the early 1700s. So it's relatively early as far as the Achronim, but after the Rishonim. And the Shagas Aryeh in general, he never was afraid to take on Rishonim. He argued with Rishonim all the time. So here, this is probably an example of that, because you could bring rayas from the Ramban, and from the Rambam, and from the Ravid, and from a number of other Rishonim, that they did not work off this premise that Divrei Kabbalah are treated like Divrei Torah, the Chumrah. That it sounds like from those Rishonim that Safek Divrei Kabbalah is also Lekula. And Safek even Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, which is really a Ben HaTorah, is also treated Lekula. So the Tori Evin did make a revolution here, because this has a major impact on Psak. Many do work off this premise that the Dinim of Purim, as a primary example, are treated L'chumrah. So to give you a few quick examples of where that comes up, so for example, if you send your Shalach Manos with a Shliach, do you have to check that he did it? So the Gemara says that when you're dealing with rabbinic law, you can assume Shliach Oseh Shluchuso, Shliach carried out his mission, you don't have to check. But Dinim of Torah, you do have to check. And how exactly is Megillah prioritized over other mitzvahs? Do we treat it like a Din Min HaTorah? Do we treat it like a Din Drabanan? So many do invoke this idea of Divrei Kabbalah, the Taz does also, to explain why the Gemara says that Megillah would override the Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, even though you would think as a Drabanan it shouldn't. And many Rishonim understood it differently. Many Rishonim said it's just about doing it first, it's not about canceling one or the other. But the Taz says because it's Divrei Kabbalah. So we have this discussion throughout. It's actually very relevant to one of the major COVID considerations this year, because many shuls have to have many more minyanim than they otherwise would have, because they have to be more spread out and all the other considerations. So the question, very practical question, how early can you read the Megillah at night? So do you have to wait until Seis? Or can you read earlier? We spoke about this a little bit the other day during the Aruch HaShulchan Limud, that if it's a Din Min HaTorah, we should have to wait until Tzeis. If it's a Din D'Rabbanan, we have more flexibility to rely on Shkia, to read a little bit earlier.
Is that why we saw that Gemara?
So that's a part of that discussion. But there's also another major detail there, that the Noda Behuda writes in a tshuva. It says, even if Megillah is Divrei Kabbalah and L'chumrah, that's only true for the daytime. The nighttime, like we've mentioned a few times, is very likely a later innovation. And therefore, maybe the nighttime, that's a Din D'Rabbanan. And the daytime, that's Divrei Kabbalah. So since now we're talking about how early to read it at night, maybe that goes back to allowing a little more cooler. So that's invoked in this whole discussion this year about, can we expand the timing a little bit to allow for more readings. Rav Schechter addressed this in his letter about how to relate to Purim this year. It's one of the points he mentioned, that if there's a real tchak, if it's really hard to get everybody able to read the Megillah at night, you could be makedo like the idea that it could be read earlier. And the Shulchan Aruch says even you can read from Pag HaMincha for a different tchak, and that is really not so accepted, but at least from Shkia, that should perhaps have more room under the assumption of Din D'Rabbanan. This whole Turi Evin is very, very influential on Psak, and it's based on this Gemara, which is this whole issue that the Ran is talking about. So the assumption that you have to be Machmir because we're dealing here with Divrei Kabbalah. So that's the whole discussion. The Baruch Tam, for example, was among those who disagreed with the Turi Evin and didn't think this was true. It has Nafka Minas throughout. We'll see, maybe we have another 2 days of learning Hilchos Purim throughout the day, probably come up a few other examples of how exactly this impacts on the Halacha. Very, very impactful position of the Turi Evin. It had a big influence on all the latest folk. Hi.
In terms of, let's say,
Onshin,
somebody was in Batel and they missed the Legam, right? What are the implications of the Turi Evin?
Well, we don't have an Onish that's prescribed. And when it comes to Mitzvah Drabanan, in general, the concept of Makos Mardis, which we don't see too much nowadays, but theoretically it's possible. So there's no reason why it should be any less than that. But to have an onus like a deraisa, we would need to have a pasuk that would, especially because we're dealing with assays here, so even assays ben HaTorah, we usually don't have onus.
What's the general rule for assays?
Usually we don't have an onesh. You have to do tshuva. Usually. With the exception of Mila and Chag Pesach. Okay. So just to make one or two more points before we run out of time. So those are some Purim-specific approaches to this issue. Just to mention again that this topic, this Ran, was applied in all kinds of other areas of halacha. It comes up very frequently because it taps into broader questions of how to relate to Sfeikus Darabanan. And yesterday we mentioned the major Shemitah controversy, which had the synergy because Shemitah year is coming up, and the whole question of if Shemitah is Darabanan, and we're not sure exactly when Shemitah year is, also a machlokas, could you affect the halacha through that suffix? So it comes up in all kinds of applications. I want to mention another point of synergy. So this week's parsha, we have Parshas HaShavua. And Parshas HaShavua, we have a din of Shnai Mikra V'Yachat Targum. The Gemara says we should read the parsha twice and have a Targum read along with it. So that synergistically happens to come up this week because we have a parsha this week and a parsha last week also. It's a special synergy that also comes up this week. So how exactly do you do Shnai Mikra V'Yachat Targum? So to read the pasuk twice. And what counts as a targum? So it's not clear what counts as a targum. And in the Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Pehei, he mentions that there are at least two major candidates. One is to read Unklus, because that's the targum, and we assume that there is a Misinai component in Unklus. And maybe that's what the Gemara is saying when it tells us to read targum. The other possibility, Shulchan Aruch mentions, is that maybe it's not about just translating it to Aramaic, but it's about explaining it so that we understand the pasuk better. So therefore, maybe it should be a perush that explains the pasuk to us, like Rashi. When the Gemara says, Vashnai Mikra and Brachos and Davches, you don't see Rashi commenting over there, Kigon me, going to read my perush, but it represents a kind of perush that would explain it. So the Shulchan Aruch says it could either be Unklus, or it could be something like Rashi. And then the Shulchan Aruch says that Yirei Shamayim should do both. So why does he say to do both? So Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld has a tshuva about this in his Salmas Chaim. He says this is because of the Ran, that essentially you have a Safek Rabbanan here. Shnayim Mikra is an institution mid Rabbanan. And we have two possibilities. We don't have a real reason to pick one possibility over the other. So we're not going to say do neither. So we end up saying it's ideal to do both, probably building a little bit on the first approach, saying it's not tircha, although Shnayim Mikra V'Yachat Targum can be very, very time-consuming, so it's hard to say that it's not a tircha. And as Ari mentioned, we started this, the whole question of defining whether what's called a tircha and what's not. But that's what he writes in his tshuva, that because of this Ran, that's why the Shulchan Aruch says to do both, to do the Rashi and the Unklus. Okay, you didn't think that one was going to come up. Yeah.
Just from the Lashon Shulchan Aruch, from the fact that it says Yirei Shamayim, it seems like baseline you wouldn't have.
Right. So that also might be what the Ran means. You know, that's also how Rav Kook in the Shemitah Tshuva understands the Ran, that really that Mikra Adin, you don't have to do both. But it might as well because of the different factors here. So that's how he understands what's going on there as well. So we'll just mention one more point to kind of set us up for tomorrow and to segue back into the Pesach and Pesachim issues. So what the Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, in his letters, so his approach to the Ran, really to the Gemara, because it's not what the Ran says, but his approach to our Gemara is to say, why are we machmir for all of the Dalet Kosos? Says maybe because not treated like a Darabanan either. So the past few minutes we've talked about maybe Purim not being treated as a Darabanan. Pnei Menachem suggests that maybe Haseba and the Dalet Kosos, ostensibly both themselves Dinei Darabanan, converging here as two Darabanans, are not treated like Darabanans or treated like Daraisas. Why should that be? Because maybe that is how the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is fulfilled. And yes, clearly those are Rabbanan details. But the details are so crucial to how Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim is conveyed that maybe that's why Chazal tell us to treat them like a Din Min HaTorah, that they incorporate them in to the practice of the Din Min HaTorah. So what does that mean for us and our Pesach implications? So we will, God willing, pick up with that tomorrow. So just to quickly recap what we spoke about today. So we talked about some Purim-specific approaches to understanding why the first day is enough in a Safek. And we mentioned the Gra's position, that the Eved, even a 15th person is Yotzei on the 14th. And we don't treat this as a Safek, we treat that as Midin. That's why it's very the Meir Bracha on the 14th. We talked about the view of the Bnei Yisrael, that this is like the Mordechai's question about why is there no Sfeika de Yoma by Purim, because Lo Yavar means that was the initial Takana, so too here, even for a city that's Mesupik, we don't tell them to do it twice, at least according to the Ran. We mentioned how the Chassan Sofer took it the opposite direction and said that to look to the original Takana also means you can't let a city off the hook, because there were cities that were Mesupik back then and they weren't let off the hook, so presumably that's a part of how this is set up as well. And then we went back to the Chassam Sofer trying to figure out whether the Ran's position is acceptable halacha. So he notes that as far as the 2 days of Megillah reading, the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are both machmir. But he suggests this for different reasons, that the Rambam is machmir here because it's kind of ikva yisura, ikva chiyuva, because he's talking specifically about cities that have walls. The question is just how far back does it go. And the Shulchan Aruch, the bigger chiddush of the Shulchan Aruch, was being machmir because Shulchan Aruch was treating Megillah like a din min haTorah based on the Vahag, that Hallel and Pesach is min haTorah, and the Gemara, that Hallel and Pesach gives us a Kal Vachomer for the celebration of Purim, and Megillah specifically, according to that same Gemara, is the fulfillment of Hallel and Purim. So if it's all a Kal Vachomer from Hallel and Pesach, that's all min haTorah as well. And that dovetails with the Chassam Sofer's comments in other tshuvas, where he talks about that same Gemara as a source for the idea that Hanukkah and Purim have obligations min haTorah, even though they postdate the Torah, but their concept is rooted in this din min haTorah. And there he says the dinim were created by Chazal; they're treated as it is Rabbanim, but the kiyum is the kiyum min haTorah. But this should be saying the Gil a little bit more because of this Hallel connection. You know, he said this Gemara is also the source for a very influential tshuva of the Torah Yevon, a very influential comment of the Torah Yevon in this comment of the Gemara, that he says that we treat Megillah like it's the Din Min HaTorah because Divrei Kabbalah. All the mitzvahs of Purim are treated b'chumra because of Divrei Kabbalah. The Baruch Tam disagreed, others disagreed, but later Sifrei Pesach is much impact of this Torah Yevon, even though it's also against probably most of the Rishonim, still had that major impact. And we then also talked about one other application of the Ran's thinking, the Salmas Chaim's Tshuva by Shneimer Kaviach Targum, saying that's why Shulchan Aruch says to do both Rashi and Unklus in order to accomplish all of his goals. And then we just set the stage to go now back to Psachim, that the Prey Menachem wrote that the reason that the Gemara says to be Machmer for all the Dalakosos differently than the Ran is not because of his explanation, but it's not being treated like a Din Rabbanan, it's being treated like a Safek Daraisa, because this is built into how Chazal wants you to be Mekayim Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. So we will pick up from those related points tomorrow and see how far we can get. All right, I wish you all a wonderful day. Stay dry and stay safe. Again, tomorrow in person again, God willing, and I wish you a lot to do. All right, have a wonderful day.
Yeah, I mean, the Dallas Post Service.